We're trying to conduct a serious scientific investigation.
Science, logic, reason.
Do you have any hard data?
Now, that's what I call science.
Hello, listeners. You're tuned into That's What I Call Science, the weekly radio and podcast show that brings independent and interesting STEM, so that's science, technology, engineering, maths and medicine, to you from Tasmania. This show is supported by Edge Radio, Hobart's premium news station, so head on over to edge.org.au for more information about them. I'd like to begin today's episode by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording, the Palawa people. I'm recording here on Luchwita, and as we are a podcast and our guest is tuning in today from Perth, I would also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from where you are, listener, are tuning in from, and the traditional owners of the land from where our guest is tuning in from. On behalf of everyone here and at home, I pay my respects to elders past and present. My name is Ollie Dove, and I'm joined today by my guest, Mona Jaloli, one of the three recipients of the Inspiring Women in STEM Fellowships by Science in the Pub Tasmania. This is our third of three episodes celebrating this year's fellows and hearing about their work in STEM. And while Mona isn't physically here with me in the studio, she's tuning in virtually to be with us from Perth in Western Australia. After moving here from Iran, Mona began a PhD at the University of Tasmania, working on organic and organometallic projects, two words I have little clue as to what they mean, and I'm excited to learn about them from Mona later on. But before we do, let's start a little earlier on in your story, Mona. Have you always had an interest in chemistry?
Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm Mona, and I'm so glad that I'm here to share my story with you guys. So, yeah, I've been interested in science from my childhood, since my parents encouraged me thinking about nature, universe, and the impact of science around us. Lots of science books for children could be found in our home, such as, Isaac Asimov's science books for kids, to simply be aware of the importance of science in life. I remember that I got used to watch an animated series named Professor Balthazar, an old genius chemist who was able to find a solution for his surrounding problems, mixing compound and making new things in his magical machines. So this inspired me exploring the world as a child by performing, some experience, just being passionate about science and chemistry in childhood.
Oh, that's so great that it came out of your sort of your hobbies and your pastime, that sort of the love for the world around you in chemistry. Did you then develop that interest at school?
Well, yeah. So in my primary and secondary schools in science laboratories, I also was very interested to understand what's happening behind every reactions and the science of materials. So I was just very interested and passionate about just finding how chemical reactions are working together for making new compounds, specifically with widely applications in our lives. Yeah, so I got used to promote in myself about chemistry and its huge and significant impact in our daily life.
Did you go on to study chemistry directly at undergraduate?
Yep. After completion my high school, I accepted in one of the most prestigious universities in my country, a public one, and started studying chemistry for bachelor degrees, which took 4 years.
Did you have any barriers in getting accepted into that undergraduate program? You said it was one of the most prestigious, so you must have been a great applicant going in.
Well, so we had to pass an entrance exam, a national entrance exams. So as far as I remember, it was more than 400,000 people just taking that exams in my field of science. And my score was around 2,000 out of 400,000. Because that exams was, I mean, once a year for all students nationwide.
So you're in the top 2,000, that means.
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. Well done. That's astounding, Factor. What qualifications did you need to take that exam? It's not a specific chemistry exam, is it? Is it a general knowledge of end of high school?
It was a general knowledge of, different part of science. I had to have some knowledge about mathematics, physics, biology, and chemistry. And when I just chose chemistry as my first priorities in entering the university, so the number and the scores that I got in chemistry became double. But I had to have actually a general knowledge of, specific scientific items like mathematics, physics, and biology as well.
Yeah, wow, a lot to know going in. And in Australia, uni students tend to go from their bachelor's degree onto their honours degree and where they do a research project. Within your 4 years of undergrad, did you have the equivalent of an honours involved in there?
Actually, we didn't have an honor degree in our bachelor. So we just passed 4 years to get our bachelor degrees. And at the end of the year fourth, we could have a short research project with one of our, professors or supervisors. But after that, we could enter the university again by passing the master degrees in chemistry.
Yeah, cool. I'm from the UK and ours is a similar setup to what you had. Instead of a completely separate honours year, we do a project in our final year. So after that, those 4 years, did you then go on to do a master's or did you go directly into the PhD?
I was very interested to work in industry. So I worked for 1 year in industry in research lab, which was so good. Their focus was on developing new catalytic compounds using in oil and gas industry. But after that, I found that that would be better for me to continue my educations in master degrees, specifically in field of inorganic organometallic chemistry that I'm also good at and I'm interested in. So just took another exams and I admitted in master degrees and I continued my education for more 2 years to receive my master's in chemistry.
Fantastic. Well, that leads us nicely onto the next section. So, listeners, stick with us for part two, where we find out what those organic, organometallic, where those fancy words and what they mean. Welcome back, listeners. You're tuned in to That's What I Call Science. And today we are talking with Mona from the University of Tasmania. Now, Mona, I said those terms earlier because I could read them in front of me, but I actually don't know exactly what the term organometallic or organic, even though I see the word organic in the supermarket a lot, I don't actually know what those two terms mean. Can you explain them for us?
Yeah, sure. So organic chemistry is a subdiscipline with chemistry involving the scientific study of the structure, property, and reaction of organic compounds and organic materials, which usually are involved of carbons and hydrogens atoms, and sometimes heteroatoms like oxygens and nitrogens. But the main body of the compounds are carbon, and this is named organic chemistry. And matter is in its various forms that contain carbon atoms. So the organic metallic chemistry also is the study of organic metallic compounds, chemical compounds containing at least one chemical bond between a carbon atom of an organic molecule and a metal including, alcali and transition metals and metalloid like boron, silicon, selenium, etc.
What's a transition metal?
Transition metals, we have, main metals and transition metals. For examples, in periodic tables, magnesium is a main metals, but for example, iron, nickel, these are transition metals. These actual nomenclature is based on the properties of metals that you can locate them in periodic tables.
Yeah, that definitely is a throwback to my high school time looking at periodic tables. So, what part of this field is your PhD looking into?
Yeah, actually, I was very interested in inorganic and organic metallic chemistry. After finishing my master, I worked for a couple of years in industry, again in energy industry, and then it was a great opportunity for me to get more experience involving in challenges, scientific challenges that we need to know about what we do as chemists in industry. So the project that I was working was, a kind of, catalysis. And after that, I found that maybe that would be a good idea to just again move forward and continue my PhD.
And what exactly is a catalyst?
Oh, yeah, good questions. Well, we have different catalysts, but a catalyst actually is a compound, and catalysis is the process of increasing the rate of a chemical reaction by adding a substance known as a catalyst. So catalysts are not consumed in the reaction and remain unchanged after it. For example, if the reaction is rapid and the catalyst recycles quickly, very small amounts of catalyst often suffice. Mixing, surface area, and temperature are important factors in also the reaction rates. So, in a simple word, so catalysts are compounds that increase the process of the reaction, rate of the reactions, and they also remain unconsumed.
So this is a completely new area for me, but in terms of what we know about catalysts, are most catalysts known, or is it common to sort of find new ones, if that makes any sense at all?
Well, good question. So we have at the moment a broad variety of catalysts. These catalysts could be or main metal or transition metal catalyst based on the applications that we are going to use them. So it's not something that we discover, so it's something that we make. So we know the property of each elements, and we want to know that for specific reactions in any area of industry, pharmaceuticals, energy, natural products, what kind of catalyst do we need to promote the reactions to do in a milder conditions? So based on what we design, we actually design the suitable catalyst and appropriate catalyst that we are looking for.
Are you conducting many experiments as part of your PhD?
Well, yeah, I also had this opportunity to work interdisciplinary. So I did lots of chemistry lab works plus computational chemistry. So I had this chance to develop compounds by running experiments and also understanding the mechanism behind each project. So the main concept about chemistry that I'm always interested about is just answering two questions: how and why. The how is happening by conducting and monitoring experiments, and why usually is happening by doing mechanistic studies using computational techniques to answer why this reaction worked, why that one didn't work, why this reaction with this metal works, but in other condition, it doesn't work. That's something very, I mean, amusing and interesting to me to find what's happening inside of each reactions in atoms, molecules, electrons. Yeah.
That's such a nice summary of you're looking into the how and why. But with computational chemistry, how does that help you find out the answers then?
Yeah, very much. You know, sometimes, you know, computational chemistry is a, I mean, significant aid for experimentalists to help them to design more efficient processes, because we use techniques, we do calculations, and we use techniques. And also, we need to have a good knowledge in chemistry to analyze the results that we get from the, I mean, softwares and computational techniques that we are working on. In electron stages, in orbital molecules levels, we need to interpret, okay, whatever is happening, it actually demonstrates, it indicates that why this reaction works or why that one also doesn't work. And also we can have predictions for the future reactions by choosing, for example, a specific metals or reaction to say that, okay, we can advise experimentalists, if you are going to use this class of compounds, it's better to use this, for example, metals or this class of compounds to design more efficient transformations and processes for your work.
And have you had any unexpected or unusual results from your work so far?
Definitely. Yeah, because this is chemistry. Sometimes you design and you are move forward doing lots of lab works and computational works, but sometimes it doesn't go very well and you don't get the result that you were expecting for. From my perspective and my experience in the first year of my PhD, yes, I worked on a project, a multi-step project, of synthetic and computational, but in some steps it didn't went very well, and I had this challenge to solve the issues and finding what am I going to do. So I had this chance to read more literature, having meetings with my supervisor, getting their advice, and thinking and working and more. And yeah, I had such experience, but hopefully we found a way and we could actually solve the problems. And yeah, that worked well.
That's a very optimistic note at the end there. Where do you see this research leading on to?
Yeah, that's part of research, an inevitable part of research, that, you know, you just need always to keep in mind that not all research are going to be results in publishings. Also, if we just know that something doesn't work, that would be a good point that we can actually say that, okay, I tried that one, it didn't work, so someone else cannot do that. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. I love how you say even a bad result sort of can be a good result, because it helps further the knowledge. I think the way that you said there, not every answer needs to be published, is also fantastic, because we're sort of that, you've got that, what is it, publish or perish side of academia, but there's so much more to science, and that's great to hear.
Yeah, fortunately, I had this chance that the project that I was working on ended with publishing in Q1 journals and high prestigious journals in chemistry. But generally speaking, what I'm saying is that not a specific project, not every project, I mean, is going to be published. You know, just we need to learn, we need to explore, we need to broaden our knowledge, and we just step by step go forward to just explore more about the world of materials.
I love that. And stick with us, listeners, for part three, as we talk more about exploring the world with Mona's involvement with the Inspiring Women in STEM Fellowship. Welcome back, listeners. You're tuned into That's What I Call Science with Ollie Dove and my guest, Mona Jalali. So a huge well done, Mona, for being awarded one of the three 2023 Inspiring Women in STEM Fellowships by Science in the Pub Tasmania. It's a great scheme, and we spent the last 2 weeks hearing from Marley and Vimasha about their involvement in the scheme. So now we'd like to hear about what you're going to be doing with your funding.
Well, thank you so much. I'm also very happy that I have had this chance to be nominated as one of the, persons, successful candidates for this round of the STEM fellowships. So my plan is to empower women working with girls to encourage them the significance of chemistry and its broad applications in the world. So in this regard, I'm going to use the funds in two main purposes. So I also had this chance to visit my hometown after 3 years after COVID. And I actually used a part of this funds for two girls' high schools in district neighboring areas in Tehran, the capital, to equip the chemistry laboratories with science books, with updated science books and lab common equipment, including glassware for measurements and thermometers. And I also had this chance to present my research and journey during PhD, which I called The Significance of Chemistry in Our Daily Life, to boost girls' self-confidence and aspiration, the next generation of Iranian women and girls in STEM fields free of charge.
Oh, fabulous. And you also gave a couple of presentations here in Hobart, I believe.
For International Women Day, so we had a presentation and we had a collaborations with another universities in Canada, and also we presented for International Women's Day over there online.
Oh, nice. Are there any other upcoming events that the three of you will be involved in that our listeners could potentially attend?
Well, as far as I know, I'm focusing on completing my PhD and I'm just tracking the emails. Yeah. So the one that I'm actually speaking to you is the one which is very nice. But yeah, probably we will be aware if any other events or, upcoming events related to this fellowship is going to be, and also will be very happy to cooperate and join the other dear fellows and members.
Absolutely. And if listeners, you do want to find out, if you go and Google Science in the Pub Tasmania, you can find out a lot more about the scheme and what the three of them have been up to. So what does winning this sort of award mean for you personally, Mona?
Well, I was amused when I received the email that I've been a successful candidate. So, it encouraged my power to exploring the chemistry and just exploring the science more, because I found that, this award and fellowships encourages me, even as a girl, to just work more, focus more, and explore more the projects that I'm working on, and to learn more about the universe and just develop my career after my PhD in industry or academia.
Do you have any goals or aims for where you would like to go after your PhD and what you would like your career to look like?
Yeah, so I would be very happy if I could have this chance to continue working on my projects in academia. And otherwise, I also would be happy to join to industry, specifically the companies that are working in high technology, materials, specifically in green chemistry, hydrogen fuel cells. These are things that helps to save our planets, and I have some experience about. So yeah, these are the fields that I'm looking for after my graduations.
Wonderful. And how did you end up at the University of Tasmania? What influenced the decision to come and study over here?
Well, so I've heard about Australia a lot, and I really enjoyed the times that I've spent in Tasmania, the beautiful islands. And yeah, well, so I've applied and I received an offer, and I'm very glad that I accepted that offer, just moving here and then continuing my education in friendly environment, academic and friendly environment of University of Tasmania. So nice. I really miss Tasmania.
Have you moved to Perth to complete your PhD?
Not completely, just for a couple of months. I'm getting back.
What are you doing there for a couple of months?
And I had this chance to collaborate with some research groups at University of Western Australia, designing a project for collaboration between the two universities.
Now, we like to leave our listeners with an uplifting tip or a piece of advice from our guests. So along your career in chemistry so far, is there any one piece of advice that has helped keep up your enthusiasm that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes, definitely. So chemistry was my childhood dream. And all I would like to say is that just do whatever you like and follow your dreams and your heart. Definitely, with all ups and downs, you will be successful.
Brilliant. Wonderful words to end on there. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in today to That's What I Call Science. We love bringing you STEM-related content, and I really hope you enjoyed the show. If you loved the show, you can get in touch with us by searching That's What I Call Science or That Science Taz on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. My name is Ollie Dove, and I'd like to extend a huge thank you once again to my guest, Mona Jalloli, from joining in from Perth. Hope you all have a wonderful week.
This program was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au. You've been listening to That's What I Call Science, brought to your station and across the nation via the Community Radio Network. You can find That's What I Call Science on all major podcast streaming services and social media platforms. Like and subscribe for on-demand science updates from the team. That's What I Call Science is proudly recorded in Tasmania at Edge Radio. Head to edgeradio.org.au for more information on how you can support Community Radio. GemMaker are a proud sponsor of That's What I Call Science. GemMaker provide expert advice, services and training to commercialise new knowledge and technologies. Go to gemmaker.com.au for more information.